Thank you so much, my brother, for bringing in the reading of God's Holy Word. These are the last Sunday on the month of May, and we have a study, faith exhibited, demonstrated in the Scripture. Today, the date on our calendar calls us for what is called in America Memorial Day. I want to bring two things to you this morning. One, the Memorial Day about our country and how we establish Memorial Day through the research. You can do that in the internet in the Library of the Congress and get all the information, and I'm going to give you a summary of what I have found for you. And then we believers, for us, every day is Memorial Day, as we remember the one who has given us freedom and keep us free. Let's remember for just a few minutes our country. In April 1863, in a city called Columbus, in the state of Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who died representing their beloved Southland, an elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt at the corner of their cemetery to place a memorial of flowers there also. Now, her friends were with her, and they asked her, "What are you doing?" "Those are the graves of two Union soldiers that you put flowers on." Softly and compassionate, this mother said to the women, "I know, I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourn for them as we do for ours." According to the record of the Library of the Congress, that I search out and copy this, that loving deed set in motion our celebration, which has become known in America as Memorial Day. We honor the world dead once a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. Today, we want to honor the memory of those who have sacrificed their life on the altar of freedom. Those thousands of sacrificed lives were not given in vain. Because of their sacrifice, we are free today and have the right to assemble ourselves together and worship God. And I want you to know, those who have no live in another country, I want you to know that that is only in America. In other countries, you need to file a petition for meeting, and the government will allow you, yes or not, for that freedom. I thought to myself, if I can get a hold of the statistics, then we get an idea of the dead. And thank God the Library of the Congress is very good for information. And I want to just give a statistics of those who died to preserve the freedom that we enjoy today. In the Revolutionary War, 25,324 people died. In the Civil War, 498,332 people. World War I, 116,710 people. Korean War, 54,546 people. Vietnam War, 58,098 people. The first Gulf War, remember, under the first President Bush, 293 people. Iraq War, 3,000 so far, 498. And Afghanistan yesterday hit the mark with 1,000 people. Those people die because you are here free today. Today, I do not want to diminish the sacrifice and service of those men and women who have served our nation so faithfully and so valiantly. But I want to talk about one great soldier this morning. This great soldier stepped into a harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms and entered the first fight, knowing that it will cost him everything he had. This soldier bravely entered the battlefields and won a great victory, but a terrible price. This great soldier gave his life not for a nation, but for the entire humanity. His was not a life given in vain, but the sacrifice of his life set free the captives of sin, S-I-N, of sin. We need to remember the sacrifice of the heaven's greatest soldier. We need to remember a man named Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us. Not too long ago, the board of supervisors called me to pray in San Jose, and they sent me an email with the conditions of my prayer. At the end of the prayer, I can pray anything I want to, but at the end, mention no name. So I called them back and I said, I'd like to visit with some of the supervisors, and of course, they give me the supervisor of this area, who lives about 3 blocks from Brother Cassandra. So Brother Cassandra and I visit him, my great soldier Cassandra. And we explained to him, and if we don't close our prayer in the name of Jesus, who other soldier we will use? Who else went into heavens to clean up the mess I made with my sin? Who else? And he said, you are a foreigner, do what you want. And so with my accent, I get away. And I pray in the name of that great soldier, the Lord Jesus. This is how far we have gone away from those days of our country. Now let's remember Jesus. And I'm going to bring 10, 12 things that you know in your heart, but it's good to keep it fresh, all right? We go through the scripture together. You know me, I have to look in the scripture, otherwise I will not be happy. Turn your Bible to John chapter 1. Let us remember his appearing, the appearing of the Lord Jesus. The coming of the Lord Jesus. The appearing of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 1. It's so simple, the reading. I don't know why the Jehovah's Witnesses have a hard time to understand it. It's so simple. Using the King James Bible in my pulpit, and there is a King James Bible in the pew that you can use and free to use it yourself. John chapter 1, and I'm going to read for you verse 1, and then later on verse 14. Also, I want to insert this that in the church bulletin. There is an outline of my sermon, and most likely, if I don't get emotional, I follow. If I get emotional, I lose it. All right. Here's what it is. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You know that word. The word is Logos. It was the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Word was God. Period. All right? No doubts about it. Glance to verse 14. Same chapter, verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. The statement is made in verse 1. The explanation is given in verse 14. I keep telling people, read your Bible. You're reading a statement. You don't understand it. Keep on reading. Later on, you understand it. Here it is, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There is no other person in the whole earth that is full of grace and truth except Jesus. So let's remember him. I want you to move your Bible to the right, to the book of Philippians chapter 2, as we remember his appearance. In John, we have the declaration of Jesus coming. In Philippians chapter 2, we have the detailed explanation. John tells us Jesus became flesh and he came and dwelt among us. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 to 8, it explained what really took place in heaven and the heart of Jesus in those special moments. I read for you Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. The Apostle Paul tells the Greek church of Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, though it no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Men, the most brilliant man is a servant. Just the highest you can go in life. You can have an MD degree, you can have anything you want to, but I tell you from my heart, it's just a servant. You are no more than that when you compare to God. So Jesus became, being God, he became a servant. Look at verse 8. "And being found in the fashion as a man," he was a full man and a full God, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The worst death you can have at that particular moment in the life of the world, Jesus took that upon himself. So let us remember his appearing. It is not a matter, as I was explaining to the Jehovah Witness who wanted to get the Spanish people in the McDonald's, as I explained to the pastor the other day of this church across the street. I said, it is not a matter of interpretation, it's a matter of principle. Even God save you or not. If Jesus is not God, then there is no salvation. Because God demands perfection. God demands the purity of heaven. And no man, said the book of Romans in chapter 3, have it, except God. So always remember, you are a Christian, I'm a Christian. We love God because Jesus came. Remember that. We take it for granted. We celebrate Christmas and that's it. That is the day that we remember. But let's remember him every day. Lord, I'm yours because you came first. And you came to me. Let us remember his appearing. Now let us remember his accomplishment. Let's go to the Bible reading. Our brother, you are in Philippians. Go to the right to 1 Timothy. If you ever want to explain someone in a shot, in a real summary what Jesus is, 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 will make it. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing to take away. It's just a self-explanatory of the value of our Savior. Let us remember his accomplishments. Number one, Jesus have a real body. Look at verse 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Somebody tell me all the time. How can you believe, doctor, how can you believe that somebody was born without my father? Great is the mystery of holiness. But I have the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. You want to read it? Put one hand in Timothy and go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Here I have the birth certificate. And you know, your birth certificate said your mama was this and your papa was this and your grandfather was this and this and this. Well, so Jesus, look at here. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and so on. Let me read it for you. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit." She was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example," which was the law at that time, "was minded to put her away privately." He was saying, okay, you're going to leave. I cannot get married with you. Verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She have not been fooling around with any other man. God in his mystery has selected these beautiful women to be the setting of Jesus. And then he explained to Joseph, verse 21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, not Joseph, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sin. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you know you are his people, his Savior from your sin. And so Jesus has a real body. It is not a dream. It is not a ghost. It has a real body. He was a real human being. Josephus, the Roman historian, said that Jesus existed and walked in Judea and nobody understood him. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 also said that Jesus performed in a marvelous way. The Bible saying, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Justify, said the Bible, in the spirit. Justify. You can call yourself. The other day, I met somebody here in Battlefield. He said, I'm a prophet. I said, sit down a moment. You know what a prophet is? A priest prays to God on behalf of people. A prophet reveals to me the will of God. So you are saying that you're going to reveal me the will of God, my heavenly Father, to me. You are a prophet. Either you're a crook or you're a real prophet. Now tell me, are you a prophet? And I say, yes. Well, who justify you before God? What do you mean justify? You're a sinner. You're a human being born in sin. The Bible said, remember Romans 5:12? We are born in sin. So who cleaned your sin up? So I was baptized. Who cares? What kind of water? Clean water or dirty water? You know, come on, let's not play with this business of the Spirit. Let's not play. Jesus has a perfect servant. The Bible said right here, they said, justify in the Spirit. How do I know? Put one hand in Timothy. I'm so glad in seminary I studied Matthew. You know, of the four Gospels, they give us a choice. I studied Matthew because I love it. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Remember when Jesus was baptized? Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. Remember, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 3, 16, he was justified of the Spirit. Look at here. Matthew 3, 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And look at what God said when he saw Jesus being baptized. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. No, anybody else. You know that demonstrative pronoun and the personal pronouns are very serious business when you study grammar. And here is, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is saying this. God is saying this. This is not the opinion of a man. This is not the opinion of a church. This is not the opinion of a council. This is not the opinion of a country. This is the opinion of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No wonder the Apostle Paul said here, justify in the Spirit. No question about Jesus. When God put his glory, when the Spirit of God put the glory on you, there is no more questions. I told my Spanish class today at 10 o'clock here in church. I said, when the Spirit of God takes you over, there is no more questions and no more doubts. The crooks and the Pharisees, they were asking Jesus, on what authority you do this? And who give you the authority? And Jesus plays a good question. Best psychology is Jesus. And I brought the life of John the Baptist to the class. Some of them, they don't know the Bible, so I had to go very low and bring them up. And boy, their eyes were open. Now, it was a very serious statement when Jesus said, tell me, John the Baptist came from God of a man. Wow, that was a serious statement. Because the only thing, we went through the book of John, and the only thing that John the Baptist did is saying, "This is the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world." Jesus was everything for his cousin, John the Baptist. He was nothing. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Remember? In 3:29. I tell you, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. And so God here, perfect service. There is no anybody else in the entire world, in the entire centuries that God rolls over, that can be justified like Jesus. He is only the one who God was pleased. And when you are in Christ, then you are pleased with God. That's what we say. It doesn't matter if your church is a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church. Don't play with names. Play with the reality. Either you are under the Spirit of God or you are condemned to hell. One of the two. Going back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus has a real body. We praise God. They will remember his perfect service. Has a heavenly protection. The Bible said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, number one. Number two, who justified of the Spirit. Look at this one. Seen of angels. What does that mean? I mean, he was protected by God. Let me show you the record. I have to go to Dr. Luke in chapter 2. You know, doctors, they write in detail. You read the Bible, it's amazing how you point out doctors. In the gospel, they say the man has a withered hand. When you go to Dr. Luke, he says he has a right withered hand, and almost give you all the details. Doctors always remember they are doctors. And here it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Look at what the Bible says. Remember, he was seeing of angels. I mean, he was protected by God's army. He doesn't need the FBI or the cuckoo of man. He needs God himself. And look at here. Chapter 2, verse 13, and suddenly, when he was born, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see the things which came to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us." In other words, total protection from heaven. God was indeed making manifest in this way that God's not going to leave his son at the mercy of mankind. No whatsoever. Remember when he was at the cross? Turn your Bible to Matthew 26. In verse 53, he was never at the mercy of man. He was at the mercy of God at his birth. And then when he died, he is still at the mercy of God by his angels' protection. That's what the Bible said, seeing of angels. In Matthew 26, and in verse 53, the Bible said, Jesus is speaking at the cross. He said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father? And he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels." A legion in the Hebrew is 144,000. 12 to 144,000 of angels. One angel knocked you down. Imagine 144,000 times 12. They're coming in. Come on. Jesus was never alone. He was under the protection of his Father. Let's remember that. You think that if Jesus was under the protection of his Father, he's going to leave you? As a child of God, and you have no protection of God? Come on. That should encourage you. That should, you know, there are moments when you don't know if an angel intervened for you. I have one terrible accident. God protected me. 3 days later, I have another one. The second one could be fatal. A lady, poor lady, is little fast driving. I'm stopping in the post office, arguing with my wife. "Give me the letter." Blah, 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 blah. You know how men are. You know? I'm just human like you. I'm not holy, holy, holy. I'm just like you. So she said, "Give me those letters. I need to go." You know me, I always like to run. And my big old car, thank God, open door. And she, I hear, you know, my wife very pro, profile, get the letters out of the conference, out of the apartment, give me the letters. Oh, give me the, I want to go out. And a car at high speed come in, a Toyota Sequoia Sport Utility come in, boom, and crash my door. I was not, I looked to my daughter. And just a little bend. When she pulled the car, the whole Toyota came down on the floor. Of course, 1995 car, it's all steel. The letter said, I do not saw you. She did not saw a 1995 town car in the parking lot, near the door open. I just said, young lady, there is a your car, and I'm more worried about your baby than anything that happened. And I worry about what your husband will say about this. But I gave my car, and she gave me the information. My car is repaired. They found the door, cannot find the color. They had to paint it all. I said, oh, okay, I do it. But my life could go any moment. Your life could go any moment. And we have this protection of God. Do not believe you're alone. You have that protection of God. Thank God. I remember that Jesus was protected, and so he protected his people. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifested in the flesh. He came. He was justified in the spirit, heavenly protection. Excuse me. And then justified in the spirit. Then seeing of angels, and that's the heavenly protection. And now preach unto the Gentiles universal salvation. Preach unto the Gentiles. You see that word? The Greek word is Hellenic. Preach unto the Greeks. And anybody, either in that world, at that time the Bible was written, you are a Jew or you are a Greek. Because of the Roman Empire and so on. And the Greek Empire. And so, here it is. It's universal salvation. I love how Paul put it in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13. If you just move your Bible a little bit over there, you see it. It's just beautiful. Doesn't matter. In our church, I like it. We have people from Japan, people from Korea. We have people from Philippines. We have a Spanish, and then we have Germans, and then all colors and races and so on, and it's just beautiful. Look at here, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got that word, whosoever? That means there is no limitation. Even the Koreans can be saved. Imagine. Even the Argentinians can be saved. Imagine. You see that? Don't put limitations on people because God doesn't. Some black fellows told me the other day here in town, there are more black people in Morning Hill now than ever. And they told, I asked them, I said, why do you live in Morning Hill? We're all white here. He looked to me, really shocked. And then I give the hands, I'm Pastor Otero, I just want to love you. And said, do you have a church in area? We have one black person in our church, and we'd like to have more. And the guy was relaxing, knowing what to do. And I said, now tell me, who made the black people? So we don't know. So we're just walking. We go to work. You know, it was very heavy. Yeah, who made the black people? Then I said, I have another question for you. How many black people in heaven? More than white? So we don't know, sir. We don't know. Sir. Thank you, thank you. So they left. Run. I think when they see me, they run. But I tell you, why do we discriminate? Why do we say this and the other and the other and the other and the other? We only see the news, you know? And we read the news. Oh, the Iranians are very bad. Oh, the Afghanistan, very bad people. The other, very bad. My grandma was from Palestine. Each time she cooked a good meal, she put her basket on her head, and she taught me. She got by my hand, and we went door by door, giving a little bit to every neighbor. And she was from Palestine. But we read the news, and we say, oh, these terrible Palestinians. And this and the other. Please, you know what is terrible? To be in sin and you do not know it. To be a sinner and not get saved. That's terrible. Universal salvation. No limit your salvation. Yes, I'd like to have a church with every nationality here. Every nationality. It's just beautiful. Universal salvation. When you go to 1 Timothy 3, he said, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seeing of angels, preach unto the Gentiles. And this is what I call the universal gospel. Believe on in the world. Believe on in the world. In other words, the gospel is not a theory. It's not just for the head. It's not just, I can preach you the doctrines of predestination. I can tell you the doctrines of these. I can show you Calvinism. I can show you Arminianism. I can show all these. It means nothing unless swallow and go into. Show you in the book of Romans. Look, when you go to seminary, you get your head full of this. But let that pass and let the lies show. Look, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. To whom did he write this letter? Verse 7. Romans 1 and verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what? Saints. They ask me, some people, especially the Spanish people, do you have saints in your church? Yeah, about 120. Oh, he said, you don't have the Virgin of Guadalupe? I don't know. I said, I don't remember any one of you called Guadalupe. But I said, 120. One man said, I want to see it. All right, come in. So he came in here on a Wednesday afternoon. And Luke said, where are they? Well, right now they are not here. They are not here? They move? Yeah, they move. My saints move. They have legs. He said, who are your saints? I said, well, you come on Sunday morning. And you see it all sitting here. And they leave. He said, I know. He said, I want, listen carefully, real saints. Hurt me. Because, see, if you do not behave correctly and holy before the Lord, you are not a real saint. Is that right? I said, sir, you just give me a lesson. And I started crying. He said, hold, what I did? I don't want to offend you. No, you don't offend me. You cannot understand even if I explain to you. I said, the word saint here is somebody who has been separated. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, saints in God. You know something? It's beautiful. So the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a universal gospel, but you need to swallow the gospel. You need to believe the gospel. It needs to be yours. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Can you say today, yes, I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a member of Bethel, but because Jesus Christ put me into the body by the power of the Spirit, and now I believe. That's what's important. Let's not play with that. God was manifested in the flesh, it's 1 Timothy 3:16. Justified in the Spirit, seeing of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believe in the world, but that's an end over there. Receive up in glory. One of the common questions of the Spanish people is, where is Jesus now? Isn't that a real question? If you believe in Jesus and you believe that Jesus is active, where is he now? Well, let me show where he is. Go to the book of Acts after the gospel, Matthew, and then Mark, Luke, and John. After the gospel is the book of Acts. And in chapter 1, and verses 5 to 11, the Bible tells you where Jesus is now. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, said Jesus, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, no many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Not talking about the kingdom of God as God will establish, talking about the political kingdom. Will you restore the political kingdom so that we become number one again, like Solomon? And to anybody who want date for the coming of the Lord, the answer is in verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You see that? But here is what you should do. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken those words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine that? You're talking to Jesus, and suddenly you hear a helicopter. Blah, 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 blah. I imagine those people were shot. Wow. Verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I will do the same thing. I will say, oh, mamma mia, I will say. I don't know what you will say, but I will say, mamma mia, what happened? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? These same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him into heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Now, what is he doing there? All right, Hebrews, go to the right now. Hebrews chapter 1 tell you what he's doing there. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 1. I start reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, when he died and resurrected, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's, I have a pope. People said, you people don't have a pope? Yes, we do. What's his name? Jesus. Oh, we know. But who is the Pope? Jesus. See, a Pope is an intercessor. If you study the Latin, the word Pope is an intercessor. And the Bible said, look at what the Bible said. I have a few minutes. Romans chapter 8, look it with me. Romans chapter 8, Jesus is our Pope. He's our intercessor. He is the one who went up into heaven. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus is an intercessor. He's our Pope. He's a high priest. Like the Jewish people have a high priest correctly, they need to have a high priest to intercede for them. The setting of the Jewish people was perfect, and now God has spiritually put it. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, what is he doing? Making intercession for us. That's what you pray and say in the name of Jesus. You don't pray and say, on my merits, on my goodness, or what I can do. You don't do that. You pray and you say, in the name of Jesus. It's not a magic formula. It is recognizing the high priest Jesus when you say, in the name of Jesus. And this board of supervisors, these tiny little ants, want me not to pray in the name of my high priest. Are they crazy? Well, everybody is crazy. I know, brother, he's crazy. That's America today. But I tell you how blessed we are. Let us remember, as we close this, let us remember Jesus. Yes, we have great, brave men who fought, great men who gave their life for our country. But we have one soldier, as I said, who died for us and who complete everything that is required. Are you sure, Pastor, this is okay? I want to close with one verse. The whole sermon in one verse. Romans 5, 21. That's my closing verse. My real conclusion. The Bible said that as sin have reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. By whom? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, my brother, when you are under stress, when you are in financial problems, when you have family problems, when you have difficulties, when you have all kinds of things in your life, remember that you belong to heaven. Remember that your end of your life is heaven, is not this earth. Your house, your curtains, your carpet, all will go. Your beautiful car in 1 second can smash to death. I thought I lost my beautiful 95 Lincoln. Because the book said $500. The police asked me one question. They said, sir, only one question. Yes? So where the door was hit? In the bottom. They only bent. You are not guilty. Thank you. Whatever that policeman is, God bless him. I was not guilty, and the insurance paid me everything and even the paint of the car. But you can go, and I can go. But we don't put our eyes on this earth. We don't, yes, we celebrate the bravery and the greatness of our country, but the greatness is that we have freedom to meet and to talk about God. May the Lord Jesus bring that into your mind. So in the moments in which you have difficulties to live with joy, remember what Christ has done for you, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are not alone. Our soldier, the Lord Jesus, our captain, he went ahead of us. He won the victory. And one day we're going to be forever with him in heaven. Thank you for this day. Yes, we remember our country. We respect our country. We honor our country. But we rejoice in the fact that we live beyond this country into a heavenly place. And Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Deep within his awesome heart, God knew that sin would have to die. Out of love for me and justice plea, a perfect lamb was his reply. Dust of earth to die my death, driven by his love for me. The perfect lamb from heaven stole, endured a death that was my own. The Almighty God, the great I am, became my ransom as a perfect lamb. Stained by sin, at a cross I stood, deserving of his judgment cry. As a perfect lamb, King Jesus came and lay upon my cross to die.
With outstretched arms, his blood flowed down, his eyes of love invited me to intervene and live with him, forgiven for eternity.
The perfect lamb from heaven's throne endured a death that was my own. The Almighty God, the great I am, became my ransom as a perfect lamb. The perfect lamb from heaven's throne endured a death that was my own. The Almighty God, the great I am, became
became my ransom as a perfect lamb.
The Almighty God, the great I am, became my ransom as a perfect lamb.